You're listening to The Craig Carlisle Show.
104.5 WPJC.
Parker J. Cole Entertainment.
What up, Ms. Parker?
Hello and welcome to The Craig Carlisle Show. Man, Saturdays are awesome. I love Saturdays. And again, I said on my last broadcast that I go back and forth with Saturdays. And some days I love Saturdays. Some days I hate Saturdays. And some days I have a love-hate relationship with Saturdays even throughout the day. But today is a good day. Saturday, I've got a great guest on the phone, Michelle Walker Wade, and we're going to spend some time talking about her book, talking about faith. It's an outstanding book, The Discipline of Kingdom Advancement, and I'm hoping she's going to spend some time, you know, really giving us some enlightenment about the title, where she got that from, but we're going to kick it right off right now. Michelle, are you out there?
I am here. It's great to talk to you, Craig.
It's outstanding. I appreciate you, too. Now, those of you who have been listening and following the show, we appreciate that. But I know you might have probably noticed that we've had Michelle on the show before. And it's outstanding. And the Lord led me to reach out to Michelle. We were prepping for some shows that are going to be pre-recorded. We're going to be out of town over the next couple of weeks. So we would not be able to be coming to you live like we normally would like to on a Saturday morning. But the Lord really put impressed the fact, hey, contact Michelle, call her up, text her, see if she's available, and she consented to be a part of today. And we're really going to continue some of our discussion about faith and transformation. And I really want us to spend some time, so I want to stop yakking. And so, Michelle, tell us really, really first, where did you get the thought of and the title of The Discipline of Kingdom Advancement? Because I really never thought that discipline, the Kingdom Advancement, was a discipline. Where did that come from?
When I first started to write, this was not my initial plan to write on this topic at all. But as I started writing, I felt this need to talk about Kingdom Advancement. So my original title was The Kingdom Advancer's Patterns of Discipline. And then as I continued to write, I realized you can't give someone a pattern of a discipline until you define the discipline. Mm. So I had to take a step back and really seek the Lord and about what exactly is Kingdom Advancement. Kingdom Advancement is something that we use the term a lot in the church, but no one ever really defines it. And even those who have, when we use it, we kind of use it just as a substitute for the word church. But Kingdom Advancement and church aren't the same thing. So, and then I thought about what are disciplines. Disciplines are structured ways of thinking about things and doing things. There's a discipline of, and there are disciplines in science. There are disciplines in theology. Anything you can think of, there's a discipline in it. And it just basically means let's lay the foundation of what it is, what are the components of it, and how does it work. And so that's kind of how I came up with the discipline of Kingdom Advancement, is I just really felt like it was time for us to define what is it, what's the purpose of it, what does it do, and how should it be carried out.
And I thought that was pretty awesome, because this is the same book, now correct me if I'm wrong, that I saw when you were at the Writers Conference in 2018, correct?
Yes, same book.
Well, I got to make sure I'm completely transparent here and candid. When I saw that book, and you were in the class, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, this lady's got a for real book. I mean, what is she doing in a writer's conference? Is she one of the speakers? Is she sitting in my class? I got intimidated, because I'm thinking I'm coming here to learn the discipline of writing. So just to coin a phrase off your title, and I'm trying to take a step out and not be the shy want to write something, but you've actually already done it, and that's the thing I think is so key. You did it, and please go out and support this book. Not just support it because you hear it on the show, but you know what? Read it, because the passages that I've been able to pass through, it looks like an awesome book. It reads like an awesome book. I'm looking to
Michelle,
to go back and start from page one, not just jumping through the, you know, as we were preparing for this show. I want to go back and read the whole thing.
Well, that's great. I'd love to read it. I share it. It's a gift to the body of Christ. So anything I can do to share it. I've actually been over maybe a year and a half or so, I started recording teachings from this book, and I'm slowly starting to release those teachings and edit those teachings. They'll be on my YouTube channel. I started to upload them actually on YouTube channel, and So the teachings will be out there, and I'm hoping to have some online discussion groups and things like that moving forward. So,
well, please share with the listeners, where can they find your book and what your YouTube channel is, and how can they follow you? Because I tell you, you know, ladies and gentlemen, this is not just a person that I can say, you know, oh, I saw her once, but I've been able to try to develop a friendship with that I really respect where she's coming from. We have connection largely because we both have lost our spouses. Okay, yeah, that's one thing. But even from the standpoint of loving God and loving the thought of writing, and you sent me a Facebook request to join a group of prophetic writing. And I'm like, oh my gosh, yeah. Oh my gosh. That's amazing too in itself. And I was totally excited. Take us through, have at it. I know you've got some things in the heart the Lord has already placed for you. Let's go.
Where shall we start?
Hey, wherever the Lord. We talked about transformation of repentance a few moments ago off air. Uh-huh. If you want to start there, feel free. I'm you open.
Know, let me just talk about kingdom advancement just a little bit.
Sure.
So I wanted to come up with a title. And in my book, at the end of the first chapter, I think it is, I give this long definition of what kingdom advancement is. It might be in the second chapter, but I give this long definition for kingdom advancement. And then over the time, as I have talked more and more about it, I have shortened my long definition. I don't want to say the long one because I just want to give you my short one. But my short definition of what is kingdom advancement, it is God's character and your mission at work in the earth. So how do you take God's character, combine it with your mission? Actually, it all starts with his character and you being a leader and carrying out his character. And he's given each of us a gift. He's given each of us a gift. He's given each of us a burden. He's given each of us something to do. He's given each of us a cause or a mission to lead. So whatever it is that is, as you go out into the earth and do it, you do it with the character of God. So it could be in the marketplace, it could be in entertainment, it can be in government, it could be in education. But wherever it is, whatever burden the Lord has given you, you do that with the character of God. So you're not going out, you know, doing the dog eat dog like other people, because that's not the character of our Lord. So that's kind of, in a nutshell, the foundation of kingdom advancement. And from there, I go on to talk about what is the character of God. And I take finding what the character of God is, I've taken it strictly, for the most part, from the book of Matthew. So I took the life of Christ, because Christ came, the person who we saw of Christ was exact replication of who God is. So the things that Christ taught and the things that Christ did are a display of his character. So then when we get into chapter 3, I list out 35 things that Christ commanded us to do. And so someone thought, oh my gosh, I didn't know there were 35 commandments. I thought there were only 10.
Right, right.
And so I went through this. I didn't actually teach it in the book, these 35 things that Christ commanded us to do, but I list them in chapter 3 because the point was this. Jesus said to his disciples, everything that I have commanded you to do, you go out and teach it. And that's really what discipleship is all about. All the things he commanded or told or informed or instructed the disciples to do when he was walking the earth are the things that we are supposed to teach others to do. And that's baseline discipleship. That's not the discipleship we see in churches right now, though.
But you know what I love the most about what you've done in your book is that you didn't just make a blanket statement or one line without foundation. So that when you guys are reading this in her book, you actually are providing the scripture where this foundational principle can be found. So there's no discrepancy.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. I believe in sticking with the scripture. I really do. Yeah. I really do.
Well, that's awesome. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go, please.
No, you can use.
I think my favorite one is number 33, obey God.
John number 33.
Yeah, obey God. John 14:15. That's my favorite, because I'm a type of person where obedience is, to me, it's everything. And without obeying God, you really can't do much.
Right. Right. And that is one of the hardest things for us to do, is to obey God, because we want to do, number one, we want to do what we want to do.
Yeah.
Number two, in so many ways, we haven't taken time to get to know what is God saying. And number three, when we have something about us that we think we can't quickly find explicitly stated in His Word, we then have this challenge with hearing from God. And it kind of goes back to a couple of weeks ago on your show, and you're talking about, how do you know when you're hearing from God?
Yeah.
Like, how do you know the Lord's voice from your own voice? And that just really comes out of knowing what's in His Word, knowing what's in His character, and then spending that time, that one-on-one time that it takes to get to understand how He speaks to you, and then to do it.
Yeah, and it's funny, because coming off of that show topic into this one, it makes it very, very clear, because if you don't understand how God speaks to you, you're really stuck. You don't really have a foundation to do anything. Everything else is just a mystery, or what such and such said, or pastor such and such, or bishop so and so, or some great speaker said blah, and you can't back it up. You can't apply it to your life, because you don't know when God's speaking to you versus when the gas is speaking to you, you know?
You know, that there's those three voices. There's God's voice, there's your voice, and there's the enemy's voice.
Yeah.
And a lot of times you can easily tell God's voice from the enemy. Not always, because the enemy's job is to trick us. So he's supposed to try and do the best he can to make us think he's God, especially when he knows our heart is to obey God. He will try and trick you into believing what he's saying is the voice of God. That's why he gives you, a lot of times when the enemy is speaking, he speaks a fair amount of truth, and then he sprinkles it with false. He sprinkles it with lies.
Yeah.
He sprinkles it with something that's not real. And so we think because 80% was truth, then we just kind of start running with it and don't even really consider the 20% that was not God.
You know, it's funny.
So it becomes challenging.
When you say that, it reminds me of an analogy I used to give to people on that similar topic, where I said, okay, fine. If I cook something for you, eat your favorite dish. I used to ask them, what is your favorite dish? Whatever it is, could be dessert, could be savory, whatever it is, what is it? And when they would tell me what their favorite dish is, I said, okay, fine. If I took your favorite dish and it's all smelling all good, coming out of the oven, and it's just the right temperature for you to eat it, but then I went and inflict a booger on top of it.
Oh, my.
Would you eat around it, or would you scoop the booger out, or what would you really do? You know? And I said, it's the same way with the Word of God. When it's applied incorrectly or twisted by the enemy, you can believe that 80%, or are you going to believe that 20 also because of the twist? It's really up to you.
Right. Right. Exactly. Exactly. So what else would you like to know about? I'm so excited about the discipline of kingdom advancement that I don't really know which part to talk about first.
Well, I like number nine, so I'm stuck in the list. I'm a word person, so okay. I'm apologize for stuck there. So number nine, pray and fast with sincerity to God, not to draw attention to yourself from man.
Yes.
Matthew 6:5-6, and also verse 16. So a lot of people are getting stuck in what fasting looks like. And I was able to do a fast a couple of years ago, and I went 21 days on just, you know, water and the Word, basically. And I felt like for me at the end of that time, not end, but I got, because my goal was to get to 4 weeks. I wanted to go in that long. But I felt that the Lord says, you know, you've learned what I needed you to learn. And so it's okay for you to stop.
Wow.
And so I went ahead and stopped. But at the same time, now I know there's some fasting that I need, not some. I know I need to fast again. but it's become a challenge for me to restart. Because the enemy says, well, yeah, you may have gone that far, but I'm going to make sure you feel hungry, or I'm going to keep you in the gym where your body is going to demand food. How do you help a person want to restart again, to get in deep and press through that lie that your flesh can't do it, to get to God, to get breakthrough?
I mean, first of all, you recognize that it's a lie. Yeah. So you know it's a lie. You know you've done it before, and you know there are plenty of scriptures in the Bible that tell us to fast, or that encourage us to fast. So the word is true. The word of God is true. Yeah. If he's saying fast, if he's saying this type comes out but by prayer and fasting, you know, if you've got a stronghold, one way to break that stronghold is to put your flesh under subjection, yeah, and to fast. You really don't have to do a 21-day fast. In fact, we typically fast once a week for a portion of the day in our ministry. It's a common thing for us to say, okay, all right, we've got this coming up. Let's all fast on Tuesday until 6 p.m. And so we do that. And there are different kinds of fast. You don't always have to do a full and complete fast. When my husband and I had our church, we had lots of people with illnesses in our church. Like 80% of our church had diabetes. We would never call a complete fast for a church where 80% of people are diabetic. So what we did with them was a Daniel's fast, and we did a complete Daniel's fast, which was basically a vegan whole food diet with foods with no artificial preservatives and sugars and things like that. So we actually had to teach them how to eat on a Daniel's fast. So that came with teaching. So they ate the entire fast, but it was a very limited and restricted diet, and the Lord was still glorified. And what we needed as a church congregation out of that time and fasting, the Lord received it, and what we needed, we got. So, you know, I would say for you is to not let yourself get in condemnation about the extremity of the fast. That almost takes away from the sincerity of it.
Yeah, because I love the way you said, because that was freeing for me. So I'm sure those people are listening to that right there. That had to be freeing too, because it gets to be more religious to say that you could do it. Just to say, "Who look at me? Look at how long I did go," versus what was the purpose for your journey?
Exactly.
Where you went. And I appreciate that, because that helps me understand what to go through next, because a Daniel fast would make a lot of sense, because it's in any case, you're withdrawing from yourself, from your flesh, what you really, really want to do.
And exactly.
It's much more of a yielding of your choice and will to God.
And actually that Daniel fast could be more challenging than just not eating.
Oh my gosh. Cause I've been a part of a church that has completed a Daniel fast. I didn't do it. I was like, man, I don't even like no beans and junk like that. But the truth is, it has everything to do with obedience versus the sacrifice. So this, I could look at it as the sacrifice of what I ate as the menu option versus the obedience of actually completing, I don't want to say the task, but the process of seeking God, the assignment. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I need that.
Amen.
Well, so those of you out there, so tell you what, so Michelle, can you help the listeners out there and help me provide, I don't know if it's the menu or the process for a Daniel fast as a part of our show documentation, because I'd love to be able to have that follow-up, because like you mentioned, those who may have medical concerns, or those who are athletic, whose bodies actually need to have sustenance, if I'm not, correct me if I'm wrong, a Daniel fast is actually extremely healthy for you. In helping your body get what it needs and to perform better.
It is very healthy. If you do it right, it takes some planning because it's easy, especially these days, there's so many processed foods, it's easy to believe you're doing a Daniel fast because we call things vegan that aren't vegan. But when we're doing this Daniel fast unto the Lord, you are really sticking with whole foods, foods that when you look at it, you know where it came from. We went through even reading ingredient lists and talking about what all these ingredients are, what's a preservative. And so for our church, if they chose not to use a whole food meaning I know this is a yam. I go to the store, it's a yam that looks like a yam. These are beans. I know what beans are. That's celery, you know, not something that has been processed. But if for our fast, if you had to get something out of a package, then you need to read the ingredients. If there's anything on the ingredient list that was a sugar, and sugar, the word sugar comes in many different forms when it comes to ingredient list. But if anything sugar, if anything corn syrup, if there were any chemicals at all, that food was not allowed on the Daniel fast. So really, at the end of the day, you just needed to prepare real food. And no meats, of course, no meats and no sugar. So, you know, it's really that simple. That's the simplicity of it.
So let me ask a silly question. It? So with the discipline of kingdom advancement, and I know you said, and I'm, again, forgive me, I may have missed it at the top, when you, it's not always thought of as kingdom as being the church. In your book, are you actually saying that we ourselves are the kingdom that's being advanced through, or was there another analogy here for the kingdom?
No, I'm not saying that we are the kingdom. The kingdom is the ways of our Lord.
Got it.
The kingdom is the ways of God. And so his kingdom on earth is only on earth because we are here. We are here expanding it. We are here spreading it. We are here developing and growing the character and the ways of God here on earth. And so the kingdom does, you know, reign within us, live within us because we are children of the Lord. And we carry his character. So really it just comes down to what is the character of God? And how do we know what it is? We know it by the life of Christ.
And I love that even from we talked about the Daniel fasting, and I don't know why I'm stuck here. I mean, and obviously maybe it's the Lord working and dealing with me. But I'm stuck here because I know I need to eat cleaner. So maybe that's why I'm stuck there. I'm seeing as if we follow these, you know, a portion of these 35 steps, not a portion, but you follow this. And if we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, whether it's a healthy eating, a Christ followed lifestyle, we are going to allow the kingdom to be advanced faster by doing our part and being disciplined to do our part. No?
The point of this particular commandment number 9. Mm-hmm. Which says, pray and fast with sincerity unto God, not to draw attention to yourself.
Sure.
It's not really about fasting and praying. That's just something that we should do.
Copy.
The motivation is what makes it one of the things Jesus instructed us to do. Okay. We fast and pray, yes, but our motivation and how we do it, we don't do it in a way that draws attention to ourselves, but we do it in a way that is sincere unto God. And that's in Matthew 6, 5, and 6, because it says, Matthew 6, 5 says, when you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners so that they may be seen of men. See, it's the intention. What do you want to happen while I'm fasting? Yes, I'm fasting, you're fasting, we're all fasting. But I'm fasting sincere. One of us is fasting sincerely unto the Lord. This is my relationship. This is my way of building my relationship with the Lord. This is what I'm doing so that I can be clear on who he wants, what he wants me to do, and how I can carry his character in the earth. I'm fasting so that he can break me in places where I need to be broken. I'm fasting so he can speak to me and I can hear him clearly, where I can discern his voice clearly. But some of us are fasting so that we can, according to the scripture, stand in the synagogue and on the streets so that we can be honored by man. Hmm. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's the reason behind they're doing it. Then it goes on in verse 6, it says, but you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what you have done in secret will reward you. And some translations say he will reward you openly. And then verse 16 says, whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do, for they neglect their appearance so that they will be noticed by men when they're fasting.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's it right there.
So the commandment is, fast was just a given. Fast and pray, that's a given. But the commandment that Jesus was saying, the character behind your fasting and praying is what's more important than your fasting and praying.
Yeah, that's it right
there. The intentions behind it.
That's it right
there. The motivation. What do you expect to get out of it?
Hmm. You know what? Let's take a break. We've been a long time. And again, forgive me for being long on the break. Some of our advertisers are like, it took a long time, Craig. You didn't go to break at your normal break. But you know, when the Lord is moving, you just can't get in the way. There was no clear points we could stop that. But the Lord was bringing the information that I know I needed to have. So if I needed to have it, there was somebody else out there that needs to have it. So you'll be reminded. You're listening to the Craig Carlisle Show with my guest right now, Michelle Walker-Wade, is taking us through the discipline of kingdom advancement. And she's helping us all understand what that principle means. And we're going to continue with the show. We'll be right back after this very, very, very brief break. And we're going to continue with this discussion. And I know I'm ready to learn more. We'll be right back.
You're listening to My Dad on the Craig Carlisle Show, 104.5 WPJC, Parker J. Cole Entertainment.
Hey everyone, my name is Eric Tomlinson with the Tomlinson Group at Rancon Real Estate, where we design the sale of your home around you. With our nationwide network of agents, you and your family are at the center of every decision, conversation, and step of the journey to your next home. From hello to congratulations, selling your home with the Tomlinson Group at Rancon Real Estate is designed to both learn and surpass your expectations. Call me today at 951-970-6727 so we at the Tomlinson Group can begin surpassing your expectations today. We want to work for you.
Does your business need to rank higher on the Google search engine? Do you want everything that your company touches to turn to gold? If you've answered yes to either of those questions, you need to contact Bright Media House. Generating relevant customer leads is critical to increasing sales and growing your business. By figuring out which online sales and social media marketing channel to use and how to use them can be overwhelming, especially when you have a business to run. Digital marketing is something every business owner and marketing manager needs as a part of their strategy. For more information, go to www.brightmediahouse.com or email us at info@brightmediahouse.com.
You're listening to My Dad on the Craig Carlisle Show. Are you listening?
Are you listening?
I'm listening. The question is, are you listening?
Sometimes.
Why aren't you listening all the time?
I don't know.
The show ain't all the time.
And welcome back to the Craig Carlisle Show. Again, as a part of my show today, my guest on the phone, Michelle Walker-Wade, and even off air during the commercial, we were just talking about where we're going and how we're going through this thing. And I was sharing, it's like, Michelle, this 35, you know, item of things to do, I got stuck again on number 13. And number 13 says, correct your own shortcomings before you tell other people about theirs. That would, you know, the basis there is Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 to 6. And also Luke chapter 6, verses 39 to 42. And I've gotten that a lot. And I'm sure I've been a victim of it, especially dealing with my kids where I, yeah, and that's probably what I'm convicted of right now. See, Michelle, I got this problem. When I come in the house from whether it be a long day, short day, for whatever part of the day, and I see the kids, there's junk all over my house. Even if it's just a small section of the house, it's just, I'm like, really? You guys have been here chilling, especially on spring break. This is a spring break time right now where these kids are here. They're not at school. Yeah. and they'll do whatever, and they'll just leave whatever they were doing behind and go do something else. And I'm like, ah, because we've lived through a section where we had a year where I really didn't care what we were doing. And the place where we lived was just a wreck. Now, granted, the place was already had some troubles before we got there, but I didn't do anything to make it better. But I so much needed to correct their shortcomings in cleaning up and picking up when in my room, my bed needed to be made, or my bathroom counter and sink needed to be clean. Now, the toilet, yeah, you need to clean a toilet like sometimes every day, depending if it's, you know, if it's a bunch of guys around the toilet and guys, you, right. You understand the problem. So I'm not trying to be graphic, but you know what the problem is.
Yes, I do.
Help us understand here that, because this correction of our own shortcomings will take care of so many problems in itself and not try to alienate anyone else and make them feel some kind of way about themselves.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's all in the Bible. Chapter 7 of Matthew, do not judge. And I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible, which is my favorite version of the Bible. Do not judge so that you will not be judged. For in the way you judge, you will be judged. Yeah. In the way that you judge, you're going to be judged, okay? And then it goes on to say, and by your standard of measure will it be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the big log? It doesn't say big. I added that in. The log that is in your own eye. Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, and behold, the log is in your own eye. You hypocrite. First, take the log out of your own eye. Then you can see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Your vision is hindered by what's in your own eye. And perhaps once you get the log out of your eye, you'll notice that that wasn't a speck at all.
Wow.
It was your own vision that was a problem. But the point that, and these are the words of Christ. We're not looking at anyone else's words, anyone else's proverbs, anyone else's opinions. These are the words of Christ. He's saying, deal with the log that's in your eye, and then you can see clearly to deal with the speck that's in someone else's eye. And he calls you a hypocrite for focusing on someone else rather than you first.
Ouch. If you can't say amen, just say ouch. Because I'm sitting thinking to myself, I'm like, Michelle, this should be a parenting book. If nothing else, these 35 steps, because if we just focus as a parent on these 35, we would be better parents. Because my kids, okay, yeah, there's four boys living in the house right now. Their brother's, you know, in Arizona. So he's not in the house every day. So I can't say he's ever part of the constant bickering. But there's constant bickering, especially between the youngest two. If one of them wants to boss the other one around, the other one trying that's being bossed likes to pick out a nitpick. And this is what's happening right here. Your shortcomings of not cleaning up, doing your chores, I'm going to get him in trouble and I'm going to talk loud. And it's funny because I can tell what's going on. They're trying to be loud so I'll hear them.
So you can get involved.
Exactly. And I don't need to get involved. You don't need that kind of negative attention from me to make, oh, see, Dad, I corrected him. I picked that speck out of his eye. When the reality is, there's a bunch of trash that you left in the corner on the table, whatever, from where you just came from. Well, you're standing in front of it. And there's no reason to get my attention in that matter. It don't do you no good.
What if, and I don't know, what if they're just replicating who they think you are?
Yeah, and that's the thing. And that's what's convicted me, because if they're trying to make it look, like what I'm doing, hey, pick your stuff up, pick your stuff up, pick your stuff up. I need to make sure I'm picking my stuff up first.
Mm, yeah.
Because I can't give them that way out.
And you know, when we talk about, you can see clearly the speck in the other person's eye. You know they're children. You know they're boys. And you know this is what, number one, children do. And even more so, what boys do.
Yeah.
It's not saying that you accept it, but it could be that the way you handle it would be different because you recognize that they're just doing what children do. And that's what makes this log all of a sudden a speck. They're just doing what kids do. Yeah. I don't know. I'm just saying.
And I received that. But at the same time, I'm still looking at it myself, because so often we can define ourselves when we say that we're adults. We're just, how do you say it properly? We're just oversized kids that are underdeveloped adults.
Yeah.
And there's still that part of us that never got the attention that we really wanted, that we never got. Mm-hmm. And we're, you know, and maybe I'm not giving them enough attention. And I can admit to that, because they outnumbered me 5-1, but 4-1 in the house. And yeah. There's not enough right now of my own, I don't say interest, but energy to be able to give them each the time and the amount and the focus that they need. But I got to tell you, I'm doing the best that I can. And I don't say that for any like, oh my gosh, look at him, whatever. No, I'm just saying, if we as parents are real with ourselves, we can do more.
I think this still kind of, perhaps you having a log in your eye.
Hmm. Yeah,
because you think you need to be their everything. It could be, again, I don't know, making it so you can't clearly see that they're just being boy children.
Yeah.
And if you could give them even more of you than you already do, and they are still going to be boy children.
Yeah, and you're probably right, because I've been for years trying to overcompensate, because I'm like, hey, your mom's not here. Let me try to give you everything and then some. And I've taken so much from myself, because people have asked me, hey, Craig, what do you love to do? And trying to help me brainstorm and how to restart. I don't want to say reprint myself or rebrand myself, but I've been a caregiver for so long. Mm. Not just, you know, my wife's illness wasn't long, so I can't say that 13 or that 11 months was long. I'm talking about before that as a parent. You know, and giving, that's, I have a servant's heart. So that's all I know is to serve. Mm-hmm. And so when I lost the primary focus of the service, the Lord had to then remind me, it comes down to who you're serving and why. Was I trying to serve her and her humanity, or was I trying to serve God and she was getting served along the way? And so now I have to, with our discussion, I have to look, it's like, wait a minute, am I serving these kids because their mom is gone and I want to get them to stop crying and not feeling some kind of way about themselves? Or some of it's probably even me feeling like, okay, I have a misplaced love to give. So you obviously can't give your kids a romantic love. So you have to give them in service and in stuff and in time and in whatever it is. So there's a need that's not being fulfilled properly. And so you're off in a corner somewhere. And I think I accept the fact that you're probably right. I'm doing too much. I'm that parent that's doing too much.
Overcompensating. Mm-hmm.
Because I don't want them to feel like I'm not paying close enough attention, because there's so many other parents out there, and I don't want them to feel like I'm not there for them, when the reality is I am there for them. And there's no way in the world that those kids can't say that I'm not there. I mean, okay, so here's reality. What are we talking about? So let's be real. I have a 14-year-old that plays junior varsity volleyball. I'm like pulling the rest of my hair out because I can't get to the game tomorrow. Well, I can't get to the game tomorrow because I'm committed to serve at a program at our church. I'm part-time staff there. And I also, you know, volunteer with the radio station that rented the church for the event. So it's a double pronged support measure that I need to, so I'm committed to. But yeah, you could also say, yeah, my first church is here at the house. But missing one game doesn't mean I love him any less.
Not at all.
But here's how good God is. One of their aunts texts me, I think it was this morning early, asking if she could come over and pick them up, because I wouldn't be able to give them a ride. So come and pick them up, take them to dinner and have dessert, and bring them back home.
Yeah.
And she had no clue that I wasn't going to be around, or if I was going to be around. So I have to understand that now the Lord has just taken me off and provided. I don't have to provide dinner for them. I don't have to have a solution. I don't have to even get extra wound up about what they're going to eat or how am I going to have food delivered to the house, and do I really need them to open the door? And, you know, I don't have to worry about any of that. And all I had to do was just be who the Lord wants me to be and settle down and shut up.
Yeah. He provides. The Lord provides. Yeah. And he never intended for anyone to do anything on their own.
No.
And this is something that the Lord spoke to me early on in this grief journey. And I almost got an attitude with him for saying this so soon. He said, I am not going to let you stay stuck on a dead person.
Ooh. Ooh, that's serious. That's serious, though. How did you take that? What was your response to
it? I got an attitude. But the point that he was making is there, and he just allowed me to see how many people and how much help I have and how much support I have and how many people are here for me, to have all this help and stay fascinated on a person who he chose to take what he did. Mm. And the way he did it, I mean, it was almost picture perfect if there could be such a thing. That was the Lord's choice to take him when he did.
Yeah, yeah.
And so for me to turn around and stay fascinated on it, you know, which we do, it's easy to do because this person was the other part of you.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You'd never had a thought without thinking that other person's thought in concert with it.
Yeah.
And so the Lord so early said, I'm not going to let you stay stuck on the dead person. And I was like, how dare you say something to me while I'm grieving like that?
Yeah, man.
How dare you? But had he not, I could have isolated myself from my community.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because my community can't give me the one thing that I want. The one thing that I want is in paradise. He lives in paradise now. And yeah. Because you can't give him to me, I'm going to separate myself from you.
Well, I can tell you.
I'm not going to let you give me what you can give me.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I guess I have to share with
that
you.
That wasn't my own. That wasn't my own. That was the Lord. That was the Lord who put that. You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, totally. Because I have to share with you because I'm in my seventh year. And, you know, of course, that's prophetic in itself just by the number. But during those 6 years, I withdrew. I did what you just described. I drew myself behind a castle wall. So if you can imagine, from the picture the Lord gave me was, I got myself behind a really seriously tall castle wall, pulled the drawbridge up, dug the moat out farther and deeper, put piranha inside, and I dared anyone to come across. And then the Lord was showing me now, as I'm trying to change that and kind of rewrite what I'm feeling and see God and how I'm doing it, if you can imagine then these tall cinder block walls that are probably 25 to 30 feet tall, and I'm standing on the inside of it, and I'm trying to lean into the wall and talk to someone, and the Lord gave me real clear. He says, you can't minister from behind a wall. And some people may look at that and say, oh, from a church standpoint, yeah, we need to get out of the community. No, I'm talking about I myself cannot minister, cannot touch the hearts of people from behind a wall.
Sure can.
I have got to come on the other side. I got to come out and play. I got to come out and allow myself to be hurt again or vulnerable again. And that has been a little bit nerve-wracking for me because it was safe behind that wall.
But there's hurt behind the wall too.
But my rational mind, the one that listens to the devil, says it's safer in there, and I've got a small community of people that can get hurt back there, and it really is not about getting hurt, really, it's just us, and so it's safer. My thought was, I'm protecting my kids from the world, or protecting the world from my kids, because the bad people are out there, because some of them have said X, Y, and Z, or some of them have done P, Q, and R to us, And I don't want that. I'm real protective over my kids and who they speak with, who's in my house, who's around them. And that's good. But at the same time, I can't keep them from getting hurt all the time. That's not my job. That's what God does. And I have to give them over to Him and let them follow God's plan, so to speak. Which is tough, because I know some of the people that want to speak to them. I know some of them that I've removed them from their presence because of what some of these people that I know have said, either about them or about me. And I'm like, okay, if that's the way you're going to roll, then tell you what. We're going to be over here, and y'all do whatever you want to do. Deuces, I'm not letting my kids come around you. I don't need that kind of transfer of spirit in their life. Now, granted, I know we don't need to put them in harm's way. And I'm not going to put them in front of people who are just bad for them. But at the same time, like you mentioned, there's people being hurt because there's people who are good for them that I'm not allowing them to be as a part of as they should.
So one of the commandments is to be, I wish I could find it right now, to be the first one to go.
Oh, that's number two. That's number two. Mm-hmm. Be first to go and resolve every issue with your brother or sister. Don't wait for them to come to you.
Don't wait for them to come to you.
Matthew 5, verses 21 to 26. And that's a tough one.
It just keeps coming back. It's like the gift that keeps giving.
Oh, yeah. That's a gift, all right.
Offense among people and in church and in relationships.
Oh, churches, friendships, families, you name it. That's the key one, because even with my wife passing, my mother-in-law passing, my father passing, the Lord has shown me that there's two things that are going to happen in families. Either they're going to grow together and become solid, or they're going to spin themselves apart and be destroyed because of the grief. And he gave me the example of like an earthquake.
Because of their greed or grief?
Because of grief, the sadness and the loss. And it's like an earthquake, where if you really think about it, an earthquake really is nothing but the shifting of two, we call them tectonic plates, or two different pieces of earth rubbing against each other. Either they're moving farther away from each other, causing a chasm or a void. And so if it's two plates moving away from each other, leaving a hole, those two plates are actually still moving towards another one. So the one that's moving towards is actually being built up, but still being impacted. So those may look like friendships and relationships that are getting better because they got bigger and stronger. Well, at the same time, we moved away from some relationship, leaving a hole or a chasm. And it happens in some cases. So it's not an either or. It's a yes and yes. They're both happening,
right.
But not to each other. And that's tough. Yeah. Number two is a tough one. Matthew 5:21-26 is a tough one.
Mm-hmm. It's a tough one, but it is the word from Jesus.
Yeah.
And it is what keeps us together. But God is a God of reconciliation.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, this is what keeps us together.
But we can't, and I guess what I like the most about this list of 35 items, it's almost like it's a menu, but you can't pick and choose what's on it. You can't say, you know, I want a little bit of 13, and I don't want any number two. Can you give me some number four? And, you know, it is what it is.
And one of the reasons why I was so careful to stick with what Jesus taught is because He's our Savior.
Yeah.
And He's the one who gave His life for us. And He's the one who became our propitiation for our sins. And so if anyone should be, and He's the one who we are supposed to be becoming more and more like. We are disciples of Christ. We should be becoming more and more like Him. So if anyone is to be emulated, it is Christ. It's not the people who taught us to live this way. You know, some of us, we say, well, my mother taught me to be this way, and my father was, I'm just like my uncle, or whatever. No.
We
are supposed to mark the perfect man.
Yeah.
We're supposed to put on the mind of Christ. That's what we're supposed to do. So I was careful and very deliberate to just take these directly from the words and the teachings of Christ.
Well, you made it easy on us and yourself too by doing this, because if anyone has an issue with them, they have to take it up with Christ and not you, because this is what the Word of God says. This is truth. This is Word. This is not just something fancy that Michelle Walker Wade coined and make it tickle your fancy. And then that's what we got in. You talked about, you know, last week we were talking about, or a couple weeks ago, talking about faith being a noun. You know, we've heard a lot of people say, oh, faith is an action word. No, it's not. It is a noun. I don't care how many the ways you slice it. In the English language, faith is a noun, a thing. A noun is a person, place, or thing. And in this case, obviously, it's not a place or a person, but you can think of it as faith being the faith being Christ. If you have a faith in Christ, it is a thing to have and possess. Just like these 35 items here, these are things that we need to do, or in this case, not do. Like number 18 said, do not follow the crowd doing what seems easy. Choose the narrow and more difficult path that leads to eternal life. I mean, so it tells you what not to do, and then it tells you what to do. I mean, it's there. It's not like we wondered what's there. And for those of you who are taking notes, this is Matthew 7, 13 and 14. And Michelle, I apologize for jumping to that one. I meant to go to 15.
Which commandment was that one you just read?
That was 18.
Number 18.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. Because it's just so basic. So parents, if you're out there like me and you're looking for best ways to lead your kids without offense and to not provoke them to anger, and not, you know, and provoked into wrath. So depending what version you're looking at, as parents, if we can even teach our kids to go through these 35 verses basically, and do these things, then you don't ever have to worry about, am I exacerbating or am I provoking my kids, or if I'm making them tired of us, or am I becoming tired of them for ourselves? Because these 35 things are going to tell you what to do and not to do. Don't make any promises you can't keep. That's number four. That's Matthew 5:33 and 37. So often as parents, we say, well, if you do this, I promise I'll do this. And we don't, we let our kids down time and time again. If you tell your kid you're going to do something, do it. If you can't do it, don't.
Don't say it.
Don't say it.
Don't say it.
And I keep using the child.
Sometimes you tell them you're going to do something and things happen.
Yeah.
And then it's just a discussion, a communication that needs to happen as to why it didn't happen.
Yeah.
But and then a new plan. Making a plan for what are we going to do instead.
Exactly. Because kids want to be consistent.
That's not even just as a parent. That's between spouses.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, you're like the honey-do list.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
How many honey-do lists with things on them never get done?
Well, you know,
and my husband, with everything was tomorrow, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it tomorrow. I said, I don't want to hear the word tomorrow ever again come out of your lips.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just because you're not going to do it tomorrow.
Yeah. And that's so true, because it's funny. And I'll tell you a small story with that. I had a honey-do list from my wife that I finished after she was gone. That was the first thing I felt so much remorse and regret for not completing. Yeah. And they were the simple things that actually would have allowed us to spend more time together. Finish the backyard, finish the patio, finish putting the grass in. Those were things that allowed our family to have connected and spent more time doing. But what do? I found other reasons and other things to do with my time and money. They were choices. And I think I said this on another broadcast, but it's so true right now. It's that it shouldn't take near-death experiences. It shouldn't take a negative doctor's report. It shouldn't take so much threat of issue or consequence for us to really follow through with the things that we need to do. If we would just do what the Lord tells us to do, our life would be so much easier. We would know what to say to our spouses, to our children, to our coworkers, to our bosses, to our churches, to ourselves. We would know what to do. It would help the kingdom to advance, because if we're not doing our part to advance the kingdom, we need to have discipline to do that and not just be willy-nilly. So yeah, I got free will, but I'm choosing to be negative with my free will. I'm choosing to be disobedient, and that's a problem.
You're choosing to be disobedient?
Yeah, because when we don't follow Christ, we don't follow any of these things, we are choosing to be disobedient. So we're choosing to be a follower of the enemy instead of a follower of Christ. Mm-hmm. We're choosing to be an anti-disciple.
Yeah.
I don't want that.
That's, the word is plain.
It is. Clear. It is. It is. It is plain.
It's tough because we can always make excuses for ourselves as to why we can or can't do something, why we can't follow the teachings of Christ. And in our own eyes, our excuses, and we don't even call them excuses because that sounds too negative, but our reasons are, justified.
Yeah.
We come up with justifiable reasons, aka excuses, why it's okay for us, for me to do something different than what the Lord is saying.
But that, but even
and you know, we even look at this list. It's not an easy list.
No,
it is not an easy list.
No,
but we should be striving to take on these characteristics and these behaviors.
But the truth is, all we have to do is try. The Lord is going to meet us where we are.
Amen.
You know, and some of us don't want to do it because we think it's hard. Not everything is hard, and it's funny that we have the Lord's brought this topic to pass because this show follows up. A show where we just talked about how we are living at our best. Why are we not being our best? And what's keeping us from being the absolute best that we can possibly be? If we follow even if we followed a third of these or half of these or one of these, this would help us become the very best that we possibly could be in God's eyes versus we make excuses as to not do it and think we're good. Think about it from a legal standpoint, right? The law says, I can get off on justifiable homicide. I had a right to kill that man or that woman.
Right.
Well, yeah, I get it. It was self. If they were trying to hurt me, so I defended myself. I get it. But we don't have the right to be a straight alien to God or adversary to God by being disobedient. That's just, and call it good. Put a little word on it. Oh, I couldn't pray today, God, because I'm taking medicine. I couldn't fast today because, you know, I got my blood pressure, you know, my hypertension. Well, you know what? If you had eaten properly before and take care of your body, you probably wouldn't have had diabetes, hypertension, or whatever else you got, your migraine or whatever I may have. You probably wouldn't have that. Your arthritis wouldn't have been kicking in if you had been eating all that sugar. Now, and I get some of that stuff is hereditary.
Yeah.
And some of it is just a part of your, really part of your story to bless someone else. But if we really get down to it and take responsibility for the things that we are responsible for, our lives would be that much better. And the enemy would have no stronghold in our life because if we took the log out of our own eye, I wouldn't have the stronghold of, oh, I got to tell somebody else to make myself look better, make them look bad. I would already know to pattern my prayers after Jesus. I wouldn't have to worry about getting rid of anything that causes me to sin, no matter how small it may be, because I could learn to stay off my phone and stop gossiping with people and looking at stuff I shouldn't look at, whether it be soft porn on Instagram or Facebook or these other things or hardcore. And I want to be desire to have the character of God and to live righteously more than you want anything else in this world. So I wouldn't have to lust after the things of the flesh, what they have on Facebook and in YouTube and seeing these other YouTubers with these lives that aren't real in so many cases where I would give to the poor to take care of the needy and be hospitable to a stranger. But I don't want anybody in my house because they may not ever leave. They may really see what I look like and what I act like in my home. If you don't believe that everyone who says that they're a prophet is a true prophet of God, discern what's real. That means we have to spend some time with God and listen in the Holy Spirit and listen to what God is saying. So if a prophet tells you something that doesn't line up with your spirit, it ain't true.
Mm-hmm.
Use your God-given authority to help free others from sickness and torment and distress and do so without taking advantage of them. So often we find a person that needs our help that comes to us for advice. We're so much taking advantage of them, whether it be, and it doesn't have to even be church because some folks just jumped up and said, amen, preach about that preacher just took all my money. Well, you know what? Who was the more foolish? The man that asked for the 17th offering during the same 30-minute or 4-hour service or the fool that's going to give him the money?
Oh, you preaching.
I'm sorry. My bad.
You preaching.
I'm just saying. We spent the last 59 minutes talking about the discipline of kingdom advancement. This is an outstanding book. And we've only gone through a few of the pages here this time in here. Follow after, you know, connect with Michelle Walker Wade. Connect with her on social media. Follow her on our YouTube channel. Listen to this. And most of all, don't just follow because and do things because Michelle Walker Wade said it. Or you heard it on the Craig Carlisle show because he made a joke about it. Follow it and do it because you're supposed to, because God says do it. And you'll be so much better off. I'm sorry. Yeah. So we thank you for listening to the Craig Carlisle Show today. We're back here every Saturday as the Lord allows us to be. Again, we were not live today. I apologize again, but the family and I are traveling this particular day, and we're thankful for the Lord allowing us to be able to travel. And Michelle, we bless you with peace and with prosperity and with protection and with refreshing and grace and mercy and a special extra measure of restoration and joy during the season that you're going through to be restored. We bless you with an extra measure of discernment so you'll be able to see where the Lord wants you to be in and hear those things that you may not want to hear from God, but it's the thing that you're supposed to have to get the log out of your own eye so you can continue to help people like myself and other people get the speck out of theirs. In Jesus' name. So we'll see you all next week right here on the Craig Carlisle Show. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Follow all that. Listen to the archives. You know, again, like I said, I used to wrestle with the Saturday show. Didn't want to do it. But obviously the Lord's got something in this show that we're supposed to do, that I'm supposed to allow to come for his reasoning, not for mine. Because if I had my show, I'd have shut this stuff down a long time ago. I'm just being real. Anyway, we'll talk to you all next week. Bye-bye. All right, Michelle, you reminded me as we stopped. Where can people find you on all your social media channels, whether it be webpage or YouTube? How can everyone find you and connect?
You can connect with me on my Facebook page, Kingdom Walk Leaders. So that's Facebook/ Kingdom Walk Leaders. And my website is M. Walker Wade, just my name, mwalkerwade.com. And from there, you'll find my YouTube channel as well.
Outstanding. Again, I know I follow her. I listen. She's an outstanding person. I mean, and I think that's what makes it best. It's not just that she is a writer or a minister or leader, evangelist. I called a bishop before I went off the air. She about freaked out on me, but that's okay. But it's that she's a genuinely nice person. And that's makes all the difference in the world. I've met some people who are one way on platform and a completely different way when we're not recording or the lights go out. And I don't want to bring people on that way. I don't want to be that type of person that when you get a chance to meet me in person, I'm different than I am with my kids. Because my kids are telling me, if I'm not trying to do right by them, you're going to see them out in public wilding out. I'm sorry, we can't do that. Can't have that. So we're looking for consistency, and she's a consistent person. So I'll stop rambling. Michelle, again, I appreciate you for being on.
Thank you so much for having me.
Like we talked about before, when the Lord takes over, we don't know actually where this is going to go. Because it was funny. I did a commercial drop for a friend of mine's podcast, Salt and Light Arts, and the host is Joanne Hoy. My commercial drop over there says, The Craig Carlisle Show, where topics and conversations take on a life of their own. And they do. Oh my gosh.
I was flipping back and forth through the book. Where is he now? Where is he now?
Oh, so I never got off page 12, to be truthful.
Keep up with you.
Oh my gosh. I never got off page 12. And again, people. Oh, no, Michelle, tell us where we can find the book. Now, do we order your book from your webpage or where?
My book is available on, hard copies are available on Amazon. And the e-copies are available on any of your e-readers, Amazon, BarnesBN.com, Smashbooks, Books a Million. You can get the e-reader, any of your e-reader versions in that way.
All right. So those of you who have been on my show before know that I support the guests that we have. So this is what we're going to do. So, Michelle, I'm going to tell all the listeners that if you Instagram, the first five people who send me an Instagram message or a Facebook message, or reach out to me direct, those who have my contact number, reach out to me direct. I will pay for a book on one of these sites for her to mail, or for it to be mailed to you, however it is, I will pay for that. So I'm giving away 5 copies of Michelle's book. Michelle, if you happen to have hard copies available in your person that, and you want to autograph them, just let me know. Do you have that capability?
I sure do. That would be wonderful.
Okay, then let me do this. We will talk off air about a way for me to get to pay for 5 copies, and the first 5 people to contact me directly via phone or Facebook or Instagram messaging, I will, you know, ask her to send you one of those 5 prepaid books, and I will include the coverage of for the postage as well. So Michelle won't have to come out of pocket at all. So again, the first 5 people to Facebook message me, call me direct, text me, whatever, make contact with me, I will gift you one of these books that we autographed by the author herself. How about that?
Thank you so much, Craig.
No problem. In fact, I'm going to go buy my e-copy because me and paper don't work. And I know I downloaded what you sent me, but I want my own. I'm a soul of the ministry, Jesus. I'm going to buy my own to call my reader. That's what I'm talking about. Yes, so we're over time. I appreciate you all staying with us. Again, we're having fun. This is the Craig Carlisle Show, you know, where conversations and topics take on a life of their own. We'll talk to you all next week. Bye-bye. I hope you've enjoyed our show today. We've had a blast doing it. Make sure you check out the Craig Carlisle Show every Saturday, 3:30 Eastern, 12:30 Pacific, on blogtalkradio.com. If you've missed an episode, check out our archives. You won't want to miss it.
Hey everyone, my name is Eric Tomlinson with the Tomlinson Group at Rancon Real Estate, where we design the sale of your home around you. With our nationwide network of agents, you and your family are at the center of every decision, conversation, and step of the journey to your next home. From hello to congratulations, selling your home with the Tomlinson Group at Rancon Real Estate is designed to both learn and surpass your expectations. Call me today at 951-970-6727 so we at the Tomlinson Group can begin surpassing your expectations today. We want to work for you.
How do you avoid pitfalls that will disrupt your life? My office is very good with helping families protecting assets, building wealth, college flexible plans, tax-free retirement, and so much more. I am Jontrice Wells with World Financial Group, licensed to help million-dollar families, businesses, and everyone in between. You can contact me at 951-757-4202 or email me at jw.nofamilyleftbehind@gmail.com. I'm about your family.
This is Craig Carlisle, the host of the Raising Men Show, and I'm also an executive producer of the independent feature film Restored Me.
I lost everything for something I didn't do. What type of God is going to watch a man get up on his feet and then kick him right back down and get drugged through the dirt again?
It's a powerful, feel-good dramedy that centers around a young man trying to restore his relationship with his young daughter and her mother.
Talk to him just like you're talking to me.
Where have you been, kid? These people take communion from me. I am their God.
This film speaks to restoring your faith and pushes a bold message of positivity and motivation. The cast includes Gary Owen, Bill Duke, William Lee, Matt Gerald, Richard T. Jones, Malik Yovo, Yancey Arias, and Bo Casper Smart, just to name a few. Restored Me is available on over 100 digital markets, including iTunes, Amazon, and on demand from your local cable provider. Buy it, rent it, either way, I'm asking you to watch it. It'll bless your life.